Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, October the 9th. And welcome to our commentary. I don't know, but it seems like it's a little warmer now. We had a nice week last week, and now it's a little warm again. I don't know. This weather here in Texas is always up and down. And I love the fall. I love this time of the year. But right now, this time of the year is a little bit warmer than I remember, hopefully, by this weekend. We can have autumn back, which is what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in autumn, not in the late stages of summer. Well, Kamala Harris had an interview with CBS, and we talked about it yesterday. I thought, most of the questions were pretty good. I think overall the reporter did well. But now we find out that there are edited versions of the interview. And you know, I just think that this is the reason that she needs to do a live interview. This is why I love these town hall meetings where she's live and we get to see her talk live rather than these edited versions. I realize that sometimes you have to edit things on television, many times because of the time segment and all of that, you know, the clock and all of that. But we have not seen her yet, really, in an unedited version or simply a live version. I guess she did do it a little bit with Oprah Winfrey, but that wasn't really an interview. So I'm really, you know, I think she needs to have a press conference. Really, that's what she needs to do, and just open it up and see what happens. Now, is she going to do that? I don't know. I don't know. These interviews have not exactly gone well for her, but I think she owes the country at least a live interview where the public can see her interact with the press in a real format, meaning on time, rather than this edited version that we saw on 60 Minutes. So I have not seen all the edited portions or all of the unedited portions. They're appearing on the internet, so we'll see how that goes when I get a chance to watch it. But she really needs to do an unedited live, you know, one-on-one conversation, just like J.D. Vance has done, just like, Donald Trump does all the time. Just go live and take the questions live, and let's see you live answering the questions, and let's hear you or watch you, what's your thought process, and see how you can answer questions on your feet. Quick comment I wanted to make. One of the most interesting things in the world that I've ever seen just happened in Mexico. There was a television show, there's a television station somewhere in Mexico. I'm not exactly sure where. It's not in the capital city and it's not in a major city. So it's somewhere in the interior of Mexico. And this moderator, the program moderator, made some comments about the wife or the husband of the governor. I'm not exactly sure. And, you know, immediately within a few minutes, the owner or the general manager of the station comes down and says, hey, thank you for all your time. Congratulations on a great career. I really appreciate what you've done for the station, but this is your last day. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, I'm sure some people have been fired. I can't remember anybody getting fired on the air. I'm sure some people have been fired after the show. I mean, that has happened to many people. But to do it on the air, and especially when the moderator is attacking, I guess, on the basis of corruption, the spouse of a governor. Never seen that before. And this is creating quite a conversation down in Mexico. And in fact, this particular young man, he's a fairly young man, you know, the television personality who was fired, he's kind of become a real hero down. And some people are even talking about a potential lawsuit against the station. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it is just fascinating. And people are beginning to say, now, this is what I'm hearing down there and so on, that this is part of the new censorship that the new administration is bringing to bear. And that is, don't criticize our people because there will be consequences. I don't know if that's 100% true, but it certainly doesn't look good for journalism to have one of their reporters fired on the air after he criticized, you know, the spouse of a governor. I mean, I guess that's not a good thing. You can always, you know, you can always challenge what he said, and you can invite the other side to challenge what he said. But to fire him like this on the air, I don't know. I've never seen honestly have never seen anything like that before. So we'll keep an eye on it as well down there. I have a post coming out Thursday morning about the second gentleman, you know, the man who's married to Kamala Harris. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a story in a London newspaper, the Daily Mail, and the story was about how the second gentleman had hit a woman out in the public someday. This is before he was Kamala Harris's husband. He hit a woman in public, and this became a bit of a scandal, if you will, at least with the people who were there. Now, when I first heard that, I said, okay, maybe there's something to it, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it because, you know, it's just one story. But now there's a second story in the same newspaper, and it has to do with the law firm that he ran, where many women were complaining that he was promoting women because of their looks or because of their, let's say, tolerance of his advances, that he had certain women around the office, that he had a reputation for being a bit of a, let's just say, womanizer. Now, again, he was single at the time. He was not married to Kamala Harris. But all I can tell you is this. I don't know if any of this is true. The fact that there are two stories and the fact that there are lawyers and sources in the story, you know, makes it a little bit more interesting. I don't know if any of this is true, but I will tell you this. If a similar article, or now two articles, had appeared about J.D. Vance, I have a funny feeling that there'd be a lot more interest in the media in the United States about this article or about this incident. I think you know as well as I. Remember Judge Kavanaugh back in 2018 when he was nominated to the Supreme Court by President Trump? Remember what happened to him? He was accused of something that happened in 1982 or 36 years before when he was a teenager. Allegedly, he touched some girl at a party or something. And this young 15-year-old or whatever was so traumatized for the rest of her life that her life was never the same or something like that. And then they picked up a bunch of stories of Kavanaugh when he was going to college and some of his parties. I mean, this thing was blown out of proportion in the case of Kavanaugh, and they had way less information on Kavanaugh and certainly less credible information. There were no witnesses of any of this against Kavanaugh. Here you have an article with, you know, lawyers are talking and sources are talking. So I don't know if it's true, the story of the second gentleman. Maybe it's not. And I don't really enjoy scandals of this type. I don't think the country needs them. But if it's true, this is a real problem for the Harris campaign, because this is, you know, the kind of scandal that could blow up her campaign to have her husband accused of these things. Her husband has also been portrayed by some journalist, masculinity guy, you know, the big gentle husband who accepts his wife's success and all that kind of stuff. What can I tell you? If this is true, this is going to be a very serious scandal. And if it is true, it should be investigated. If it's not true, well, then it's just more gossip. But there's a lot of gossip on television and on the media. When it comes to a Republican, they pursue it always. So we'll see what happens to this. But I, you know, once I saw the second story, then I gave this whole thing a little bit more credibility. And I talk about it on a post coming out Thursday morning at the American Thinker. Well, we just learned that Fox News has invited both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump to a debate at the end of October. Now, look, I don't think Donald Trump needs to do any more debates. That's just my feeling. They need to worry about voter turnout. They need to focus, I should say, on voter turnout. They have to have Trump out there talking all the time, like he's doing today. I guess he's in Pennsylvania. And they need him out there in front of voters. And then they have to have J.D. Vance doing his thing. And that's what they need to worry about right now, is getting the vote out. The Republicans are doing a very good job in early mail. Okay, early mail voting. They're doing a very good job in wherever they're doing it right now. Early mail, I think it's in Pennsylvania and North Carolina, other places too, they're early voting. And the early numbers that are coming out suggest that the Republicans are really voting early, which is what you're supposed to do. And that's exactly what they need to focus right now. Focus on getting people to vote organizing your team, getting out there to vote. That's what you got to worry about right now. Debates are not going to do anything at this stage for the game. Now, Kamala Harris may need to debate more than Trump does. If you look at where we are today on the campaign, the RCP average, which is what I follow, that's the one place I always go to for the numbers because, you know, they're professional and they're very consistent and they give it to you straight. They don't favor one poll versus another. But right now, Trump is at 296. This is projected, of course, projected electoral vote. He's at 296 and Kamala Harris is at 242. You need 270, of course, to win. Now, there's a couple of states right now that are leaning toward Kamala Harris, Wisconsin and or Michigan and Nevada are two states that they have as blue right now. Those two states are highly competitive, and many people believe that Trump will win them both. I'm more optimistic about Nevada than I am Michigan, but if he wins those two states, that'll give him, you know, roughly another 20 electoral votes, 18 to 20 electoral votes, which will push his total to about 314, 312, something like that. On the electoral map. So, but right now, based on the polls that they have right now, he's up 22. He has 26 more votes than he needs. He's at 296. He needs 270. So that's a good projection for Donald Trump. And to tell you the truth, most of the stuff that I've been watching and most of the commentary that I have been watching suggests that there is movement. There is some momentum in the direction of Donald Trump. So we'll keep an eye on it. But the RCP average this morning has him at 296, 242. That's what you need. Those are the kinds of numbers you need to win the election. Well, one last thing here as we go away, or as we say goodbye. It was on this day, 1940, that John Lennon was born in Liverpool. John Lennon, of course, the Beatles. He and Paul McCartney were the two big songwriters of the Beatles. John didn't live a long life. He was killed in 1980. He was killed at age 40. So if you think about it for a second, it's almost 44 years now since he was assassinated. But John's popularity or his influence has grown significantly over the years. And I think more people remember him now, I think, than when he was alive. Remember that when he was killed in 1980, he was making a comeback because he spent much of the 1970s kind of in retirement. But ever since he was assassinated and all the nostalgia with the Beatles has happened, he's become more and more popular. All kinds of imitators are out there of John Lennon. I like the Beatles a lot. They were my favorite group growing up, and I thought their music was fantastic when they were together. I didn't like them that much when they were solo, but when they were together, they were the best music that you could find. But John Lennon was born on this day in 1940. Sorry, my allergies are affecting me a little bit. Forgive me for that. But he was born on this day in Liverpool in 1980. His real name is John Winston Lennon. And they called him Winston, of course, because of the famous Winston Churchill. He was born in the middle of World War II, or at least before the United States got involved in World War II, when it was basically Britain against Germany. So John Lennon, born on this day in 1940. What's my favorite song? Oh, there are many, many. One of the best songs, I think, for a day like this is In My Life. There are places I remember all my life. Some have changed. Great song. In My Life from the Rubber Soul album. For a day like this, when you remember him, this is probably a good song to listen to. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.